Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Everyone, it's Red News Podcast 114, and I'm joined by Nathan, Shane, Coggy, me and Nick, who is eating congealed spaghetti or noodles. We're not sure, he's just shown us an image because he gets in late from work. So it looked like the worst meal anyway. Right, so the good thing is Nick has reassured us. While I'm wobbling about I'd prefer Grealish, and people saying, well, how would Fernandez and Grealish fit in the same side? Well, if you want to be back at the top, you've got to have two for every position, and I think they could play in the same side. But Nick has reassured us all along that Sancho is going to be a star for United. The missus said, what the fuck are you going to talk about? But I've actually got as many notes tonight as I've had before. So I won't go on one of my long monologues. I will say we've got about 30 mags left. Please, if you've not got it, just clear a box, please. I hate kicking into it in the morning first thing, so you get a good read. We're already starting work on the next one, but please let us clear out of these last 30. And we've got one more month to go before the campaign ends. We're on 419, which is fantastic. So if you can add your name to pledge. And July the 1st, I was thinking, have I been too harsh on Ollie the last couple? And I've let Europa go now, because otherwise it's going to eat me up. And this isn't false. I'm actually buzzing, especially Leeds, and especially the fact that we could all be back. So I'm actually buzzing for the start of the season. And yeah, it might go tits up, but the fact that I might see you all, the fact that we might have a little bit of our United back and a routine, it's actually this early, but it did get me thinking. Ollie said 3 years ago, yeah, I want all my signings done by July the 1st. And he said 2 years ago, I want all my signings, you know, I want, and I know pre-season screwed, but it just made me think, here we are, we're a week to go, and as ever, so it'll be Josh King on deadline day. I'm going to go, Shane, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, not too bad.
Who's your hate?
Pardon?
Let's go straight to it. Who's your hate of the week?
I haven't got a lot of hate within me this week, really, but I think the two things that struck me today was, I've tried to avoid it, but VIP, this kind of whole thing about if you're rich, you fucking can't catch COVID and it's all right to go to Euro finals, this kind of stuff. That's an obvious one. But an unusual one is, just after my tea tonight, I went to the biscuit tin and there were some lovely Oreo biscuit kits there. I don't eat many biscuits, but I just bought a little treat. But there was that Jammy Dodgers were blocking the way, and I can't stand Jammy Dodgers. I think they're the most overrated biscuit that's fucking ever existed. They're like I don't know what the fascination is with Jammy Dodgers. Everyone goes with Jammy Dodgers, and I think they're very overrated. Just because they've got a little heart-shaped bit of jam in the middle, it's marketing genius. But
Coggy's tucking into his wafers. Can I just say, Shane, are you like a 1970s sitcom? Who still has a biscuit tin? What? What?
A jar, what do you keep biscuits in?
Well, in their packet.
They don't last longer if when Barney's around.
I will say, I liked Jammy Dodgers when I was 10, but I agree that adults shouldn't. I've got a twat of the week, and I'm going to come to it at the end, Shane. But right, so are you enjoying the Euros?
Yeah, so I think I said before, but I enjoyed Euros in the sense that it's like, there's football on, it's a bit of a backdrop. Nice weather, where it has most of the time at the start of it, and you can watch football in a relaxed fashion and I don't get too hit up on the outcome. Some of the games have been a bit, I kind of thought the England game would be pretty boring, but watchable. I enjoyed the France-Portugal shenanigans last night, and then the Germany one in parallel, you know, it's a bit of drama there, I guess. But yeah, but overall, it's been okay, nice to watch it. I'm not overly excited, but yeah, it's good to have something to distract, working from home most of the time, so it's good.
I've said Albert has got really into it, and it seems mad. We only spoke 2 weeks ago, but it's been an enjoyable experience. It's trying to explain the games, and he stayed up late when it's not school nights. The Ericsson thing, I mean, honestly, I tweeted, and sometimes you think, but like, it was genuinely like, let's get, I knew something, you know, terrible had happened, and you're just dumbfounded how you explain something like that. And to think, like, the pace of things move so quickly, like Ericsson's almost yesterday's news, you know, not to fucking him, but it's like, and that was such a startling thing, but we've really, like, we've looked forward, we've done the wall chart, so it's this tournament is sort of, it's meant something, you know, it's quite special seeing it through his eyes and enjoying and just wanting goals. Like, he agrees with my 0-0s are pointless, like Leeds away. He hates it. There's got to be goals.
Yeah, it's good. And it's like you talk about Albert there, my lad, that some of you know, he's just, well, he's more or less 18 soon. And he, like, he's quite, because it's obviously for him and his peers, a bit of like a, I guess, what would be mean, you know, maybe a 90, it's good to go down a pub and have a, you know, catch up with mates. It gives a bit of a focus for a night out. So yeah, I've got quite excited for him because he's enjoying it. I did get, like, there's a certain, like, talk about rants and moany get stuff that I usually come out with. The kind of the whole COVID thing with the England players, obviously, I understand they've got to practice what the rest of us do. But then, like, the Scotland squad to say that and had contact with him when they're fucking living and breathing in the same air, I think for 4 weeks or whatever it's been, is ridiculous. That all sounded, some of that stuff gets a bit farcical and undermines the whole existence of all these COVID restrictions for me. But yeah, overall, it's been a good buzz, hasn't it?
But the thing is, Shane, with that, with the football and with the VIPs, it's like sometimes we, you know, we're outraged, but like we're not surprised. Life is the haves and the have-nots, and we as have-nots are getting shat upon by great heights by various different institutions. So, you know, like, it should come as no surprise that UEFA and all their top brasses, and I could mean that in many ways, will be heading over on some massive freebie without having to do any of the shit that Reds did for Gdansk.
And in the same week, we get I don't want to criticise everything the club do. We get like the emails about pre-season friendlies, and even if I understand that there's a kind of, you know, there's different levels of hospitality, this kind of stuff. The way the email read is, you just need to read it back, and it all it says is £30 a ticket. You know, like, people can argue about the price of that or not. It's £30 a ticket, but if you pay £60, you've got access to a paid bar. You know, it's like
it was.
If you want to find, you can pay £60. It's like, but hold on a minute.
It was also the worst way to try and get. I mean, they would have probably got 4 extra sign-ups. You know, if you renew now, you'll be able to get fucking Brentford at home on a Wednesday night. God, Jesus, I'm rushing to that fucking credit card machine now. Jesus. But I would say, like, the Leeds.
The thing is, I'm actually off work that week, or due to be off work, and I actually thought, I could go.
But yeah, are you buzzing, like, the Leeds thing? I just think, please don't take it away from us. The way that we're all heading, surely, there's a right. That is a fucking great way to be back.
But this is how much I make it. We're going, like, hopefully, fingers crossed, with restrictions that, like, got family in Ireland, haven't seen, in my case, for a couple of years. So I'm due to go over, like, the weekend before that game. And then I've actually booked myself to come home a couple of days earlier than the rest of the family. I'm going to get the ferry back over to Manchester just on the gamble that I can go to that Leeds game and be back for the Leeds in time for the Leeds game. So fingers crossed. But yeah, I think it will be, like, you can imagine if it was anywhere near full capacity, the lid would come off, wouldn't it, with the atmosphere, I reckon.
Fucking, it'll be carnage on so many different levels of alcohol, fucking giddiness. I'm going to go to Coggy next, but let me just go through all the things I've got noted here so you can then all make comments. But I've obviously got the Leeds thing. Sancho, next man. Is he the one? Why isn't he playing for England? We're going to go for the best and the worst because I did promise it, even though none of you fuckers want to hear it or talk about last season. But there's a couple of things. Swiss Ramble did that thing and the accounts came out. And obviously, United were up to their... But a couple of points. We've had the lowest out of the top six. In the last 6 years, we've only made, or actually income, 87 million from player sales, which is just embarrassing. Like, how bad are we at selling? And I didn't even realise till last night, Delot, he's still our player. I thought we'd actually sold him a year ago. And then it said the quarter three, it was only quarter three income, but our wages, because of Champions League return, Other things. It went 69 million last year to 85 million in wages for one quarter. Jesus. It just 85 million in one quarter on wages. Right. And then the bigger debate that we could all go on about. Now, I'm sure there's revisionism about Lukaku, but I was never against him as much as others. And it's not, you know, all look at. But he's a better player than we saw in that second season. But why did it end? And then it's made me think Depay is obviously a big time div. But we didn't persevere with, I thought we all should have persevered with Zaha and maybe send him out on loan again. There are players who are clearly, I mean, he's gone to Barcelona, Depay, and Zaha, I think, is an excellent player who that we gave up, you know, through this managerial merry-go-round. And it's made me think that sometimes, again, we are too critical and we jettison a player and you think, you know, Depay will also, oh yeah, he's this and that, but he's a much better player now if you watch him for Holland. And Zaha, so that's got me thinking, and Lukaku, now he's looking lean again. I noticed he said that about his brain in a tweet, you know, well, I still find it unfathomable how he put his weight on. Right, Coggy, lots of things for you then. You all right?
Well, I'll start on, yeah, I'm fine, thanks. I'll start on Sancho. I'm not seeing him play apart from for England, so I've deliberately watched all the England games in this Euros, and I've not seen him play. The other night, Southgate picked a 14-year-old Arsenal winger instead of this £80 million Sancho that we're going to buy. And I'm just thinking, I do trust Nick. I love him. I think he's great, but fuck knows where he's getting all this positiveness about Sancho from.
Can I just intersect there? I did hear that Arsenal did play against, was it Prague maybe, the left back who played the other night plays for and absolutely running ragged. So if we want to give Southgate some credit, Saka has got history, recent history against one of those defenders. So that may be why he was picked. But yeah, go on.
Thanks, Nathan.
That was tactical. That was an actual called tactical observation on this podcast. Fucking hell.
Public football correspondent. And in fairness, mate, the commentator did say that at the beginning of the game. So,
oh, did he? I missed that bit.
Yeah, so, fucking hell. I thought we had an exclusive.
Sorry.
It was Jermaine Genus, wasn't it? So no one's listening to him.
But Nathan, never let the truth interrupt my little gripe about Sancho. Anyway, so I'd rather go for Grealish than for Sancho, but anyway, that's a different thing altogether. And we're going to pay him £350,000 a week, aren't we? So that increase in salaries that you're on about Barney is going to get even worse with any new signings that we've got coming in.
Well, that's why sometimes, you know, we delay, and I do wonder, is the transfer speculation Southgate unhappy about it? That's maybe on conspiracy, but that we delay our things to fucking put off another £1 million in wages because they don't want to pay it yet, and they certainly don't want to pay it until the fucking season ticket revenue's in next week. On that point, I missed that when we've made £87 million in 6 years, and I know Chelsea have a different, they gerrymander the fucking whole system to get 48 players on loan. But in that 6 years, Chelsea have made £400 million on player transfers. So there's, you know, this new structure that we keep hearing about. And I don't want to keep on the heap of negativity, but I don't trust the fuckers. So, and we almost buy into it, you know, like we can't have Grealish and Fernandes in a squad. Why not? If we want to get back to where we need to, then sorry, I'll go back to you, Coggy, but two things do concern me, not just on, but Rashford's in no man's land now. So the rest he needed, he's coming on here and there. So the tournament's not going to give him the confidence to think, oh, he'll be raring to go. He'll be like no man's land. He didn't get the rest and he's still. And then Fernandes just looks worn or bereft or out of form. So it's like he's going to come back. So it made me think that Ollie is so low, going back to your point about the Europa League, not making any subs, you know, not risking. he's going to have to use those squad players that he's not really backed at all at the start of the season, and we've got to start the season well. But that's the last prophet of doom, yeah. Coggy.
Yeah, I think with Rashford, I mean, Rashford's going to have an operation after the Euros anyway. So I think once he has that and then recuperates, I think he'll be positive enough to get started in that. I mean, I'd buy Grealish and play him on the left, to be honest, ahead of Pogba and Rashford anyway. So, I mean, that cross he made for the goal, we haven't got a player in the club that can do that with an opponent a yard away from him. You know, we hit the first man and we're 5 or 6 yards away from him. So I think he can add a lot. You know, he's a skillful player. He'll piss everybody off because he goes down very easily, which is brilliant. We'll get loads of penalties and everybody hating us even more so.
And I do agree, Coggy, but let's...
I'm for Grealish, but just on Lukaku, and
yeah.
You know, I was looking at Twitter the other day, and again, you know, Lukaku scores a few goals for Belgium or whatever, everybody's up in arms, we shouldn't have sold him. It was Lukaku's fault he was shit in that second season. It was Lukaku's fault he put the lights on and everything, so... I don't think it was a mistake. We all saw what his first touch was like and everything. Yeah, he had an excellent first season, but he was a mistake.
It was a
mistake not to replace him.
And it was the right time to go, but he was better. I sometimes think, did he think after the World Cup, oh, he's come back top heavy, very heavy. Let's see if we can use, because we should have stopped that. We're going over old ground. But it's like Memphis Depay, you know, he's a knob. Aren't all footballers, but he's better. I will, on Coggy, we say about Pogba letting him go, but Pogba, again, has played very well for France because he's got better players.
He has, but again, in a different position. We're told Pogba's best position is out on the left. So him and Rashford can't play, you know, in the same position. Yet he doesn't play that position for France. So it is probably because he's got a better holding midfielder that means that he can push forward more. But we somehow don't play a formation or haven't got the quality of players to bring the best out of Pogba. And if that's the case, what do we do? Do we keep somebody who is earning a lot of money but not performing, or do we ship him out and buy somebody who fits into the team?
But then how many times have we signed a player that? I was thinking this again. I've been thinking a lot about United, but it's like Mata. We never saw the Chelsea Mata, but we saw there was a better player there at the start of his United career than we ever saw. And it's like we buy these players, we never play them in their right position. So why have we bought them in the first place? If you play a player like Mata, you need to play him in 30 league games, not 60 minutes here. And it's like. The Pogba thing, it's more his off-field and all that agent shit that pisses me off. But I saw that game last night and I thought, all those people who love him, now let's not go back over that debate. But he is quality. You know, we're seeing the player that he is, that we sometimes said, well, who is this Pogba? And a game like last night, world-class players, and he excels. It just makes me... Sorry, Nathan.
I was just going to say, like, it's a double-edged sword with Pogba, isn't it? Because it's like, how many times have we said, if we sign such and such, it'll free Pogba up, you know, we'll sign Bruno and it'll mean that Pogba will be able to do what he wants and stuff. But I think it comes down to the fact that when he's at United, he's having to play with Fred, and when he's at France, he's playing alongside Kante. Do you know, like... Like, I feel like I'd do all right if I was playing next to Kante. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's the best in the world at that position, isn't he? So, but I think the reason that he goes out to the left, I think we mentioned this because I did point this out. I don't know if it was in our group or whatever, but he goes on the left because it gives him that freedom that he doesn't have to have the responsibility of tracking back, doesn't it? If he's in the middle and you know you've got Fred next to you, he's going to have to put in work and he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I've been enjoying the tournament. Like, last night was, I think I might have said to you, that was probably the best night of, like, group European football I've watched. Mm. It was just so, like, flicking from one to the other. It was brilliant. I loved that. But In terms of Sancho, there must be something going on there for him not to have seen any action really at all. Whether it's he just doesn't get on with Southgate or his attitude, like I've said this, apparently had a bad attitude whilst he was at City early on in his career, didn't he, before they shipped him out?
Didn't he down tools at City because he wanted to move?
Yeah. So if he knows he's not playing...
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I think he has got an attitude.
I was all for it, but I don't know, I'm starting to get doubts over where I think, especially at the moment, even, you know, Pogba's agent comes out and says stuff every so often, but it does feel like one of the things that Ole has done is settled the ship a lot, and it feels like the club, we might not be perfect, but as a club, we are a lot better now than we were a couple of seasons ago when there was a lot of drama around the club in terms of players and stuff kicking off or whatever. And I wouldn't want to bring someone else in who's doing that, especially someone who's on, like say, 350 grand a week.
Yeah.
I think if it was that thing of Sancho or Grealish, I would go for Grealish. He's class. He's exciting to watch. He's got the attitude of like that. It's that old school footballer. Is that like he's a bit of a dick. He's a bit of a show off. I'd go for him. We know that he plays. We know that he played well in the Premier League, and he's shown that he's. He's dedicated,
In terms of he's got his head.
Does it? You know, I know that Villa's like his childhood team, but he didn't down tools when they wouldn't sell him before, and he's stuck with them when they've gone down. He's stuck with them when they come back up. If you could get someone like that in your team, if we don't sign him, someone else will, and we'll be gutted about it.
Well, I think City will, but he's made for United, and like I'll put that to it, Fergie would have been all over him. I mean, he's like, you know, he's got Beckham's ability to cross, but he's also really good. I'm not saying you know, Beckham's that fantastic for us, but yeah, he's an ability to take players on and also deceive defenders. And I thought that Old Trafford when he came to us, when you see a player live and you think, fucking hell, he's a knob. But it goes to the Sancho thing. He's young, so they're all knobs. You know, that doesn't... Right, but let's go to our European correspondent live in... Nick, come on, let's beam me up. Beam me up to the giddy party.
Yeah, Nick, I just want you to look at these.
Oh, mine are all gone, so I'm disappointed now.
Wafers, by the way.
Just on the Sancho Grealish thing, I don't see why we need to pick. I feel like we need both. I think that they offer very similar things at times. They both can dribble and beat a man and cross a ball really well. They both got elements of quality. I just think, why would you not go all out and get both of them? To me, it just makes complete sense, you know. I still don't know where Grealish's best position is. You know, I've seen he can play out wide, he can play through the middle, he's a talented footballer. Like Coggy says, he wins loads of free kicks, he's a bit of a shitbag. I think United fans would take to him very, very well. I do think they'd take quite well to Sancho, though. I still think he's a fabulous footballer. I think, you know, obviously no one here, and I guess no one as well at HB2 watches the Bundesliga that much. But if you listen to any Bundesliga pundit, they will tell you that Sancho is the real deal, you know, you know, you only need to watch him in a couple of games for Dortmund. He's a fabulous footballer. I agree with Nathan. He must have fallen out with Southgate. Something's not quite right there. Yeah, he might be a little bit of a dickhead. He might need that ironing out. But if he's got some good mates around him at United, you know, he's obviously good mates with Rashford, who's got his head screwed on. You know, you can get a good player out of him. But paying people 350 grand a week is just absolutely baffling. What's that famous quote by, I can't remember his name now, he said, "Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it." And it just seems like it's the same fucking
Sam Allardyce.
Every transfer window where we go, here we go, here's 350 grand a week on someone that we don't need to give 350 grand a week to. And then, as you said, it's like, well, we can't sell any player for more than like 10, 15 million because no fucker can pay the wages. It's the stupid transfer strategy. And we never fucking learn from it. Always going back to Norway, And he's given a list of players, apparently, that he wants to Woodward or whoever now, is it Mercer, whoever's buying these players. And we've not seen anything. And granted, there's no top team in the Premier League by Liverpool that have done a real proper signing so far. But it just shows you that the proper players are out there. Like Canate, as I've said before on here, he's a proper player. Why are we not in for him? He's young, he's French, he's a big bastard at the back. He's a good footballer. We should be signing players like that. So I just think it's absolutely baffling. But Sancho is a real deal. I just think go for both.
Yeah, but Nick, let's talk the reality. Despite the bollocks to the fans forum of, you know, we're going to invest this summer, we won't. It'll be one, maximum two, and maybe Ramos. I mean, Ramos, don't get me wrong for the shithousery, but Ramos is a Glazer signing. You pay him daft wages for a year, but you get him on a freebie. I mean, that is written all over. That is Ighalo transfer deadline day. Unless someone like PSG offers more, you can sit, but it'll be so we can say, why isn't it both? And why don't we have top players in every position? But when we're under this meandering ownership, it is going to be one star player. So if it is one star player, Nick, what worries me is Kagawa, Mkhitaryan. I know he's a younger version and he's done well on international, but is Sancho, if it is one big signing and 100 million signing only, is he going to take us to first?
Not by himself, no. But again, I don't think Grealish would do. I still think we still need a fair few players, don't we? You know, I don't think Ramos would be a bad signing. You know, you look at some of the ones, and he's a Glazer signing, I agree with you, but his ability, I know he's downhill.
No, I get that.
I still think he's a decent sign if we did get him.
But
you know,
Nick,
you look at what we've got out of Cavani last year.
No, I get that, Nick. But somewhere along the line, we have to sign these players in their prime, you know, rather than keep being a club who's going through an almost orchestrated loop of what we do. You know, you can't operate like that. However good the Cavani, you know, we've got to get these players in their prime.
Yeah, I agree with that, I do. And, you know, Grealish is clearly in his prime. I think the exciting thing about Sancho is he's clearly brilliant right now, and he's nowhere near his prime. I think he's got even more. You forget he's only just turned 21. He's a young 21.
Yeah.
It's not like he's turning 22. You know, you can get 10 years out of a player like that and get some great value for money. But you know, he is someone that United are clearly after, and I just think it makes complete sense. We need someone that plays on the right hand side desperately, and he plays there, and I think he'd do a great job for us. I really do. Plus, he gets into that rotation, as I've always said about Rashford and Greenwood, where they can just spend less time, you know, playing football and resting up, and they're more fresh there to be ready as an impact player when they are available.
And to be fair, Ollie was pissed off last summer not getting him because they, you know, procrastinated. For him to go back and say, no, I still want him as my number one target, and to get him almost like Maguire, but different, it was Jose then Ollie. So I just don't know. I'm footbally anal like that and backward. I don't know enough about him, Nick. So I'm totally taking what you're saying.
Honestly, he's a fabulous footballer. Everyone knows here how talented Marcus Rashford is, and he's struggling to get into that England squad. It's like we're talking about them playing three pretty mediocre sides in that group, and they've scored twice. They've scored twice, and he can barely still get on. So I don't think anyone needs to be overly flippant about that. We should be looking at it positive, thinking, shit, Mint, if we sign him, he's going to be fresh and ready for the new season. Because Lord knows that Rashford's not going to be at this state. Lord knows Bruno's not going to be fit and ready, because he looked absolutely dead on his feet when he played for Portugal. So, you know, there's always, with every cloud, and I like looking for positivity, that's one for you. Well, because if Grealish is going to be playing, he's going to be knackered again when he starts the season. So, sod that. Let's get Sancho in there. I would like both, and realistically, it's probably going to be Sancho, though, out of the two.
No, but I just think Grealish would be made. He would be perfect. Perfect. But, Nick, I'm excited for the seat. I still haven't renewed, but I know I will for all the fucking aberration of the Super League. I want to be back with my friends and I want to do our thing. And they pulled me back in terms of United, what they stand for us. Is it too early to even talk about next season? No one else is talking about it.
A little bit, until we've not signed anybody yet. I mean, I've got absolutely zero excitement for next season until we sign anybody. What's there to be excited about?
Leeds.
People telling us Donny van der Beek's going to be like a new signing because he's ready then.
Leeds at home, first game. It could be fucking...
Yeah, the excitement is the potential of going for me. It's like
seeing everyone, seeing people. It's like, I haven't seen people in a year and a half, Nick. But
I'll see you next weekend.
I know. That's a Red News Sellers event. That more of that to come. But right, so does anyone else want to add? Oh, the cat is still shitting in my garden, by the way. I've got almost an SAS fucking assault course to stop the fucker. And then it came and it dug up through my plants. If anyone, Monty, you definitely didn't say it was like this on your Friday night. Right, does anyone want to add anything? Oh, Nick, what was it, spaghetti or noodles?
It was spaghetti.
It looked shit.
Linguine more so. That's the problem when you get in at God 9 o'clock every night and the missus wants to eat your tea at normal hours, so you just got to deal with whatever's left that's congealed in the microwave.
Nick, why do you get in so late? I mean, I thought you had a cushy 9 till 5 job.
No, God, I wish. I don't usually leave till gone 7 a lot of the time anyway, and then I've got to quickly fit in a run or the gym or something, and then
it's a hard life.
And then see the missus for a little bit. So hang on, get on my jams work.
If we were in a studio, I'd be pressing a violin button. Hang on. Right. So, does anyone have anything to add on Zaha, Lukaku, Pogba?
No, the only thing I would say about the players that you said, like Depay and Zaha, and I mean, United's history is littered with players who were brilliant at other clubs that came to United and failed, and Gary Birtle springs to mind, and, you know, Alan Brazil and people like that. So, I mean, these things happen. The management merry-go-round doesn't help us. There's no consistency, which makes you think, well, if we had a director of football that was overseeing everything, we'd have that consistency, but... it doesn't help when he's swapping managers every 2 seasons.
Well, that's.
I don't see any point. You hope that Donny isn't the latest of that list, as well.
Do you? I don't know what.
Whatever, though, when you've listed, you know, Lukaku, and I agree with, obviously, we didn't quite see the best of him at times. You know, you said about Depay as well. But with all these players that we've managed to keep, you can put people like, you know, Schweinsteiger, I suppose, on his way out, you know, players like Herrera or whatever. All these players that have come and gone throughout this time, and yet we still persisted with Martial, and he's blatantly a dickhead, and yet we still kept hold of him. I know I sound like Souness and Pogba again now, but I don't fucking care. How are we still holding on to that prick? How's he still here? What's that about?
At least he'll be fresh for the start of the season, because he got... Nowhere near the French squad, did he? So.
He was being fresh for last season. He played about 5 minutes.
To be fair, he was excluded because of injury. But I, again, in my multiple layers of thinking about United, even in recent weeks, I did think, this is a bit sad to admit, but I thought, oh, Martial's still here. And it's because, you know why? I was looking at, because Nick wanks Lewandowski off, that I watched his performances in a shit team and the energy, and then the Swedish kid, the energy levels, and I thought the hunger for it. And it just made me flat thinking, that's the difference. That's the difference with Martial. We can keep, he doesn't have the appetite, the desire. We're not saying anything new, but you see it on an elite level, and you think even Benzema, you know, he's fallen out with Deschamps. He could have said, fuck off, I don't want to... But he's got the desire to prove him wrong, desire to want him to win it. And you think, I can't be doing with another season of us, Nick ranting and us just... Sorry, Shane.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Benzema there. I was saying to someone else the other night, possibly a bit younger, but I'd have loved to have seen him at United. I think he's a top player, and he seems to have a really good attitude on him. And going back to the Ramos thing, I just, like, as much as in the past I thought that Ramos would be great at United, imagine Ramos versus Liverpool. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it'd be great. But we can't fucking, like, I agree, buddy. I don't think it's sustainable or it's taking us forward if we keep signing players on a retirement plan. You know, he's basically coming to us as one last little hoo-ha, and we can't keep doing that. You know, it's okay to have the odd cameo from the likes of Cavani, you know, but Ibrahimovic was another one, and they've been good, but it's not sustainable. It's a short-term fix for something, and we can't keep doing that. It's not going to take us forward, I don't think.
But we are on this conveyor belt. I come from a very cynical point of everything. You know, the Glazers making... overtures that aren't gonna materialise because they'll just shithouse their way back and reverse gear, you know. So I'm just excited in the purity United. I'm just excited about seeing everyone and that, and then hope that Ollie's decency can somehow galvanise, because we've got to, let's go on to the best and what, you know, the to go through a whole season. I know people weren't there, but to go through a whole season away, for all my neurotic angst about Gdansk, was pretty incredible. And so I've made some notes. I bet none of you fuckers have done this, even though I've mentioned it twice. Oh, Shane has. Thanks, okay, you. Yes. Right, so I'm going. Leeds 0-0 got me going, because no game in behind closed doors should be 0-0. Let it go, Barney. But Bruno's goal versus Roma is probably my highlight of goal of the season, apart from Cavani's Fulham and Cavani's the Roma. But for that Pogba interplayed with Cavani and then Bruno, watch it back. It is a beautiful goal. Our three top players in a top, you know, semi-final did it. I'm not even going to mention Martial. I had a moment for him where he drove us mad, but it will just tip. Nick's already tired. He's worked late. I can't do it. The bad news, the penalties with De Gea, I still can't get it. The madness of Fred PSG, like, he's a red card waiting to happen. What are you doing? But I loved, if the highlight for me is the Roma, when you went behind, to score again, and showed by that Southampton, just a little bit. We've missed it so much of United. Just go for it. And the way the players, we said it at the time, when they were just G'ing each other up, come on, get another. But seeing the crowd back with Coggy was at Fulham at home. But I think I loved that Bruno goal versus Roma. Right, so Shane, I'm going to you because you've made notes.
Well, I've got some lows and highs, but I thought that the start of the season was a low. It was hard to think, you know, that game, was it Palace we lost to, and then obviously got dropped by Spurs. They were like, took the wind right about the corners, you know, made it feel like it was going to be a long season ahead. I think in terms of highs, I thought there was like Southampton, the late comeback there. Obviously the Leeds game, the way we gave them a good drubbing, was nice. Couple of, you know, the Champions League started well, one in Paris. Had a good win against Leipzig, who are touted as being, you know, coming there, if it's going to be a real tough opponent. But obviously that all unravelled later in the group stages. But I think to me, it was there's two moments that really, like, watching football at home is not the same as, you know, there were two moments where mine are a bit more emotive rather than sort of the quality of football base. But it was a two cup win. There was a and I think that the reason they're my favourite moments, they were in the height of that winter lockdown where things were a bit grim. And it was a time when United did give me a little lift and it did make a difference to the mood. And I didn't think that could happen when you weren't there. And that was the Cavani winner against Everton in the League Cup. That was a real kind of like a rare moment for me where you're jumping around and fist pumping in your living room. And then that Bruno winner against Liverpool in the FA Cup was the same just after Christmas. So I think those two, just either side of Christmas, were the highs for me. I think the other low, like, we can talk about, I don't really want to talk about the Europa League again, we've done all that, but the other real low for me was that Leicester game in the FA Cup, because that, like, the FA Cup was what we wanted, I think, really. That would have been great. And there might have even been, like, there would have been a chance that some of us might have been able to go to that. And I think that was a massive opportunity missed. So I thought that was a low point, but and the other thing I noted down was, in terms of players, I thought Luke Shaw was superb again and Bill Bright. I've still got, like, I've been reflecting a bit on Bruno, and I think, like, it's undeniable that he's given his team a massive lift, and I actually love his work, energy, the moments of quality that diggers out games, but he does give the ball away an awful lot, and I just think he's still not quite, like, Bruno's not at the level of some of the other top players in his position. I did think Pogba had his best season for us, albeit from a very low benchmark. but yeah, you know, he's not, like, Nathan made a very good point. You know, he's playing alongside Kante in the French side and many other great players. But I do, like, obviously Pogba's had an action club, but I did think Pogba had a reasonable season for us. So, but who knows whether we'll stay and whether we could do that in a sustainable one.
Well, Nick, I'm going to go to you, but talk of you running made me think you run like Cameron Borthwick Jackson used to run for us. Sorry. Right, go on, Nick.
Right, okay. I don't run like that, but thank you. Do you know what? I've actually got quite a few highlights that I got noted down. I think the main ones this season, though, it kind of to group it all together, is definitely the comebacks. You know, I look at the some of the comebacks we've had, obviously away at Spurs, and Southampton, even the one at Villa towards the end of the season, I won't really go down in that one. But obviously the Roma one, you know, that character's blatantly in the squad, the ability's blatantly in there. They've been great to see. It genuinely feels like United old at times, you know, coupled with the fact that Ole's obviously got this sort of top quality element to his management where he can get results over Pep and he can not clop out the FA Cup. There are moments in there, like going to City and getting that 2-0 win was an absolutely brilliant tactical genius performance from
Nick's Orange, back. We've got Nick back, everyone. he's full on the Ollie bus. He's back on it. Go on.
They really have been the highlights, though, haven't they? Let's be honest. You know, I thought they were fantastic. The 9-0 equaling of the Ipswich game against Southampton was obviously great. That ruthlessness to just keep going out there and scoring goals and getting it was great. I mean, the three low points of the season out there, Spurs, Leicester and Villarreal, I still think they're the worst points of the season. And they were absolutely awful. And the Leeds game was quite good. I was at home on it 6-2. Yeah. That was one of the best games of football I've seen. So I don't think the season's been all doom and gloom. I just think...
No, it wasn't.
The lows have been really, really bad, though, haven't they? That's the problem.
Yeah, but because it was a final. But it was a much, much, much better season. And that's what the hope... Maybe I was being a bit harsh. Words matter, so I was using terminology last time. I'm not saying I've still got, but I'm just allowing myself. Go on, Ollie. We need 25 points from the first 10 games. Go and get them. That would make me very happy. Go on, go and get them. I don't think it will happen, but you don't know, do you? You don't know. Coggy?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to add, you know, anything to what the lads have said. I mean, for me, the low point was definitely the Leicester game and the Europa League final. And, you know, lack of activity from Ollie's point of view on the final. For highs, it was the protest against Liverpool. The way the fans came out that day and everything, I thought was absolutely fantastic. And you know, you felt at the time that we could actually achieve something there by, you know, making the world know what, you know, just what our situation is. That's been diluted and slightly since then. And for one single moment, then Cavani's goal. You know, I mean, I was there. You know, and he was brilliant to see. He was, you know, it's what Cavani's all about and what being a United fan's all about.
He was. I mean, he ended the season so well. The European goals. So that to properly see him, to see, you know, we've only seen Fernandes 8 times. So that. The excitement, please don't fucking let anything go wrong. I mean,
Cavani, I think, you know, next season will be absolutely superb. You know,
if we get the service
from Rashford and
Grealish,
they can supply him.
great, but a player like Cavani would go, you know, fucking hell, get him, just put it on my head 2 times a game and 1 a game. Yeah. Nathan?
I generally don't think what else I can add to all of that. I think everyone summed it up perfectly. Like you say, the lows were bad, and I think they were probably worse because we weren't there. I think someone said a few weeks ago, didn't they, that things seem to be... You'd think it wouldn't be as bad, but it does sometimes feel like the worst results feel to linger a bit more when you can't just go to the pub straight after and sort of... talk it out straight there and then, and it's sort of out your system. So sometimes it's not being at the games has made it a bit worse. But yeah, everyone summed up the highs and lows. I think I agree with them all. But yeah, as Coggy said, I'm looking forward to seeing Cavani again next season. And I'm really glad that he signed a new contract the other month.
Yeah,
because it's one of them. Like it's mental to think that I've never seen him play.
Yeah.
It's crazy, and I'm really
a little handful of times, don't we really?
Yeah, like, and it's like it's one of them. I'm really hopeful that we'll get to be there for that Leeds game, because what an introduction to being back again that would be.
It'll just be the Euros. Why I've not just Albert, but like the Denmark game, the crowd mate, from the FA Cup final, Leicester fans. The crowd, the difference. They can try and spin it, you know, it is fuck all without fans. And the difference, even a quarter stadium, but the full ones, where everyone's going batshit. That's what it's all about. Bring it on. It's surely that's not. Well, I'm going to go for my twat, because I'm not going to mention them. I'm going to be very vague about it, because I don't want to give them the fucking thing. But you know, like football hierarchies, they think they're smug. Middle class, you know, I've got into football, and he has a thing on Radio 5 Live, and people love him on Twitter and that. And I think I listened to this show and I thought, no, it's not for me, you know, trying to be all smug about football. No, I prefer total fucking in your face bollocks. But anyway, you know, anxiety is close to my heart, suffer from it. And it got onto that tennis player. Now, I try and, as I've got older, I'm getting serious here, people, but like, you don't have to fucking have an opinion on everything. There are topics where you can just say, you know what, either I don't know, I don't care, but that tennis player pulled out, didn't she? And it was like every journalist had to have an opinion about it. You know why? Because they come out with their fans want to hear what tennis players or football players have to say. No, they don't. You want to keep your job. So that's why you want them to appear in press conferences. Anyway, it got onto anxiety, and this smug, who I won't name, put, yeah, I don't believe in it, basically. And this isn't a quote. And they tweeted to someone, I think they use it as a disguise for sloppiness, laziness, cowardice. And I thought, if you've never fucking suffered from it, and I know people who have it a lot worse, to have the arrogance to make that assumption, I thought, you utter fucking bellend. And I didn't reply, and someone did, and they put, it says a lot more about you than it does me. And then he did the ultimate shithousery of, well, I think your one follower says all we need to know about you. And I thought, not even going to name, but he is my twat of the week, Shane. Does that?
Yeah, it does, yeah. No, I'm quite an anxious person. I kind of think, yeah, I know people that suffer from it really badly for work and whatnot, and I don't know who you're talking about, but I'll find out and I'll fucking hound them on Twitter.
But I try, and because Twitter's not too enjoyable for me these days, so I post a plug for the mag, but I read a lot of people's comments, but it's quite hateful and it's quite angry, yeah. And I'm trying
I think what I found on Twitter that I've noticed of late, there's a lot of quite high-profile journalists, you know, one of whom, for example, would have presented at breakfast time. You know, I know they're looking for followers and this kind of stuff, and some of the stuff I agree with, some of the stuff I don't. But there's an awful lot of people at the moment sort of moaning about being told by others how to live their lives, but yet they're telling people how to live their lives as well. You know, and it's like a whole kind of hierarchy of shitness, I think, really. And I don't understand why people can't just let others get on with it.
But that's what I barely know what I'm doing most days, so I just think, no, I'm swerving. But it made me laugh, like the one show was on and Ronan Keating was presenting it. And I thought, now Alan Partridge is obviously not as good as he was in his great day, but if ever Ronan Keating is presenting the one show, what the fuck is going on?
Oddly, I just flicked it on last night waiting for the football to come on, and I thought, who is this fella? And David Walliams was it, absolutely. Took the piss out of him. But yeah, I was thinking, how are these people getting these jobs? He's just a boy band singer, now he presents. Like, there must be loads of like journalists that have fucking worked their asses off just to get a gig on the BBC, like the equivalent of like what would have been for the older listeners, Pebble Mill, you know, lunchtime, you know, Alan Titchwater. And there's this bone, like they do anything to get on daytime TV, anything. And then they see this sort of like boy band singer getting the primetime gig on TV.
Shane, you have Pebble Mill and a biscuit barrel.
Just on that point, I was having a moan to the kids about a similar sort of thing. But all the DJs now, or the radio presenters, whatever the title is, on Raider, they're all like Amanda Holden or Ronan Keating. No. They're not, you know, DJs as such that like you used to get in the old days. And like you say, it's the same with presenters. It's if you're already famous, you get the gig. If you're trying to work your way up, you just never get a chance. And
don't get me started on Amanda Holden. I'll just appear in a bikini at 51 tomorrow, shall I, and just take a picture of it. Oh, fuck off. Right.
I think I don't like her as a person, but I think the view is quite pleasant.
I'm too angry these days. Right.
You know what you need, Barney?
Lots of things.
You need a biscuit barrel with some jammy dodgers in.
I don't understand what's controversial about a biscuit jar. There's nothing controversial about that.
Shane, you're the man that walks around Euroways with safety pins on your pockets. You've got no idea what controversial means.
Well, as it happens, there was a lady, like a girl or lady that sort of, I think, responded to Barney, you about losing European Cup 99 at the turnstile. And it probably wasn't very helpful, but I said I didn't lose mine because my pocket was safety pinned up. But I reckon that woman now in YouTube think, oh, that's an idea.
But Shane, there's nothing better than being wise after the event 23 years later. You know what you should have done? When you were outside the Nou Camp, it's put a safety pin. I bet she thought, yeah, thanks for that, mate.
No, but it's like, you're learning the lessons, isn't it? I have lost them in the past. That's why I started doing it. And it's, 23 years of safe tickets.
I tell you something, you might mock me now, but I've thought of a better idea than the safety pins. I've started buying trousers with zips in the pockets.
Fucking hell,
I know it's novel. It's novel.
Jesus Christ.
I haven't, by the way.
My mate Beaver, in the 94, when Barcelona was quite a hard ticket for the 4-0, he was so paranoid he'd lose his ticket and whether we'd get in their end, that he held the ticket, I'm sure I've said that, and he sweated the barcode away. So he got refused because he'd held it in his hand for so long while we'd drunk in the heat of Barcelona that it was sweated away and they just went, no, the fucking man says, the computer says no.
Funny enough, at that very game in 94, I dropped my ticket in a bar beforehand and luckily someone, we weren't too packed down the coast and some honest red picked it up and sort of said, you dropped your ticket, mate. So that,
he looked at it and realised it was in the away end and went, so fuck it, you can have it back.
That's still the biggest crowd I've ever been in. 114,500 something.
Education and a half, but it was a fantastic trip. We had the time of our lives.
It was a good trip.
God, we were battered. Stoichkov, Romero.
Down the coast for a week, actually.
But that was a lesson, in a shit UEFA rule. But Jesus, Stoichkov and Romero, that's as good a, I still meant it, as good a duo performance against us as probably we've seen, really.
Yeah, I think one of those things at the start of lockdown, people saying, like, you know, 10 players, or, you know, things on Facebook, 10 players, and I put both of those in my 10 that I'd seen live. You know, I thought they were spectacularly good.
Sometimes you have to hold your hands up, don't you, and just say that we were battered that. Like, I mean, not help. You look at the team put out and Michael and Eric in the crowd and you think, God almighty, it feels like yesterday, Shane, doesn't it? Whatever happened? Why can't we be back at that age? Why can't we be Nathan and Nick's? This is, whatever happened to us? Whatever happened? Nick, don't look at me like that.
I'm just thinking, oh, God, I'm going to get all the ball down. Oh, God.
Did you see someone tweeted, I don't know, someone tweeted a thing that beard heads, a thing, it can't be true, can it? So it's the only thing I could probably grow, that you grow a bit of beard all around your head at the front and have the back shaved. I mean, it's the only thing I could get away with, and it would be the worst thing you could get away with. That was one. Right, come on, save me, someone. End it on a high.
Well, whether the people who are listening care, but all the sellers and are all meeting up next week, aren't we? So that'd be good.
Yeah, we might do one from here. Sorry, Shane and Coggy, your invite's lost in the post again. That's twice you've been blackballed. It's nothing personal, trust me.
Where are you meeting?
Well, that's a secret destination to be revealed.
Oh, is it? All right, okay.
Right, so come on, someone end on a United note.
I'm going to sleep in Georgie Best's bedroom in August.
For the Super Cup that wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I'm still going.
Happy days. Someone posted a lovely thing, Colin Cameron, on Instagram about George Best's love of tea. And they posted it on Instagram today. If you can search it out, it was lovely words. He's an ex-FD writer. He's written loads. But it was a really nice, simple thing about George Best, which I loved. Right, on that note, we've offered. Take care, everyone.
Cheers, lads.
To the regiment. See you later, lads. Thank you.